You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up next hour, this summer, the nation will celebrate its 250th birthday with all the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes with it. Much of the history over the years has been a story of success, and joining us is somebody who really his resume is really impressive. Michael O'Hanlon is an author, and Michael, appreciate your time this morning.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
As an author to Dare Mighty Things, you call this Understanding the Nation's DNA. And what kind of deep dive did you do?
Well, I tried to understand our military strategies in peace and war over the whole 250 years, going back to the American Revolution. And one thing I was struck by, and maybe at some level it's obvious, but it sunk in more deeply as I did the project, was that we've always been a very assertive country. Sometimes we like to tell ourselves that we, our forefathers and foremothers came over from Europe to get away from all the wars over there, and we just wanted to build a North American paradise and mind our own business and got dragged into the world wars against our wishes, et cetera. But what I find is that even from the get-go, we were already pushing, bursting at the seams, obviously westward expansion, many battles against Native Americans, a war against Mexico from 1846 to 1848, which gave us the southwest of the country. And we just had this energy, and we believed in the mission, manifest destiny, the idea that we had a great experiment in democracy that we were promoting and trying to include more and more people and more territory. And I think there was a lot of truth to that, but you just can't deny the assertiveness. And so I think Americans, we need to understand that we are restless, breathless, assertive, entrepreneurial people, not just in business, but in foreign policy and in national security policy. And we're not really a peaceful people. I think we're a good people. We've done a lot with our power that's been constructive, but we are not shrinking violets. And so if there's an international incident today, we shouldn't necessarily trust our own instincts for how to react. We sometimes overreact. And I think that's been a tendency in our history as well. So there's a lot of good in the history. I think it's mostly a very positive record. But there have also been plenty of mistakes, and there is this consistent pattern of high energy and assertiveness.
How does this fit into what's happening right now in the world with Venezuela, with now the imprisoned wife and former president, and then the conversation about taking Greenland?
Well, the part about taking Greenland distresses me, and I really hope it's not serious, because one of the things we did in the 19th century was expansionism, but it doesn't apply to today's world. It would be seen as a highly aggressive and, really unwarranted approach in today's world. Back the U.S.-Mexico War of 1846 to 1848 might be the best parallel, but let's think back to that time. Mexico had only been independent for 25 years. The lands that are now California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas had been part of the Spanish Empire for a while. Texas, of course, changed hands multiple times, but there wasn't really a strong Mexican presence. When we took that part of the country and made it into our own, it was not the kind of situation that we have today, a world in which we've realized you can't just change borders by force. And we've all been trying to push it against Vladimir Putin as he's done that in Ukraine. So there is a history that sort of, that Trump would be building on if he did this sort of thing, but it's a history that doesn't really apply to today's world. I think the Venezuela action is a little more interesting, a little more debatable, and it does harken back to the so-called Monroe Doctrine and then the Theodore Roosevelt corollary to the Monroe Doctrine that said we have a special interest in what happens in the Caribbean, Central America, Mexico, down to Northern South America. And, again, I'm not endorsing what happened, but I think that there is a lot of history that shows the United States is pretty muscular in dealing with the near abroad. So in that regard, President Trump is not really a complete outlier.
And that said, and for those who don't know, what are the highlights of the Monroe Doctrine that people who didn't pay that much attention in American history class What is that? What does it mean in this context?
Well, here's 1823. President Monroe sees that many of the countries in South America, especially, are getting their independence from Spain and Portugal. And he says no European power should try to move in or try to exercise influence anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, anywhere in North or South America. That's something the United States will supervise. And the amazing thing is that in 1823, we were a small country. I mean, we were growing in territory, but a small population. We didn't really have much of a navy. We didn't have much industry. And we were claiming the right to supervise things as far away as the southern cone, you know, Chile, Argentina. It was, in a way, a very audacious kind of American statement. And it didn't really mean we could do it. And in fact, there were some future crises where we got sort of, you know, demonstrated to the world that we couldn't really back up those words. Crises with Chile and others subsequently. It really took until about the era of Theodore Roosevelt that we started to have a big enough navy and a powerful enough country that we could exercise more of this leverage with our military in the nearby neighborhood, Caribbean, Central America. So the Theodore Roosevelt corollary to the Monroe Doctrine, which came about 80 years later, 1904, that was something we were then able to back up more or less. And that's something that President Trump is now trying in a way to imitate and re-articulate.
Fascinating. I love history. And you do quite an extensive deep dive into America's DNA as we get ready to celebrate America's 250th. Michael, appreciate your time. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Michael O'Hanlon, who authored To Dare Mighty Things.